I've had people who did that. You know, who just, you know, I think of growing up as a kid and being at that point where there was no more food. And then one of the brethren calling up and saying to my mom, you know, hey, Jeannie, we're in town and we've got some extra time and we thought maybe you and the kids would like to go out to dinner with us. And they didn't have a clue. They just, or maybe they did, I don't know, but they came. I know that there were others that would show up and say, hey, you know, we're harvesting our garden and there's just too much. Here, take this. Or hey, you know, our freezer is full, we just got a bunch more in, and here, have some more meat. There was a physical need that we had. But it made a spiritual difference. This is who the sheep are. Those who do that. And now he turns to those on his left hand. Matthew 41. Or Matthew, 25 and verse 41. And then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into eternal life. So this, brethren, is how God views sheep and goats. Now, I want to preface all of this by saying that these are spiritual lessons that we're going to be looking at today. When I was a boy, I loved goats, particularly the babies, because they're so sweet, and they're so cute, and they're so inquisitive, and they're so playful. And my sister grew up on goat's milk, and a baby will thrive on goat's milk when they can't take any other form of sustenance. God created them to be a blessing for us. You know, a few weeks ago, we played a virtual choir performing a song, you know, that my shepherd will supply my needs. And at the end, there was a video of sheep and some goats in a pen, and they came up and nuzzled the camera and stuff. I know the lady whose goats those are. She lives down in South America. Her name is Janet Salek. She's married to a minister down there. And we went to ABC together. And I remember being there, and we're out in Cincinnati, and it's urban. And I asked her, I was like, how are you dealing? She grew up in rural Texas. And she said, well, I really missed my goats. They were her little buddies, and she milked them, and they had the milk. And she made all sorts of things, not only from their hair, but soaps, you know, wonderful soaps that were very soothing and healing. And it was so neat to see. And I'm like, oh, I know whose goats those are. So God created them, both sheep and goats, to be a blessing for us. From the very creation, he created the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, and everything in it, from the birds to the fish to the animals. And he said, it is good. That's the sheep and the goats. They're good. But what God wants us to understand is a spiritual lesson of how he expects us as his children to be. The analogy is given so that we can look at ourselves and compare ourselves to them. How am I doing? Is my spirit Is my attitude or my behavior that of a sheep or a goat? Because someday we'll all be judged. And in our heart of hearts, we all want God to say, come, stand here on my right side, my sheep. We don't want to be on the left side. We don't want him to look at us as a goat, not a spiritual goat. So this is what we're going to be covering today, brethren. And this is how God has always looked at his people, whether it was of the new covenant or of the old covenant. Psalms 95. Psalms, and this is a psalm of David, a king of Israel, a commander of armies and peoples. And yet we know that David began his life as a shepherd, caring for sheep. He was that last born, that last child who was sent out to care for the sheep and forgotten about. But it's amazing because you look at the story of David throughout his life, particularly the Psalms as he was writing them, and our early experiences in life form how we look at the world. David always held on to that view of the people that he was to rule over as a shepherd, as sheep, not only them, but himself. So Psalms 95 and verse 6, King David says this, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the days of trial in the wilderness. For when your fathers tested me, they tried me. And though they saw my work, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who will go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." So even going back to the children of Israel, as they had been brought out of bondage and were being led into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, abundance, green pastures, they decided they didn't want to follow him. No, we don't want that. We're gonna go back. They rebelled against him. They hardened their hearts. That is, as he goes through, he's describing them as the goats. It wasn't until their generation was passed that he looked at the young, those who had been born in the wilderness or who had been youth when they came out, as essentially the young sheep that would go in and enter into the promised land, into God's rest. And they did. And then they were blessed. They became sheep. But we also know that the story goes on, and the sheep kind of forgot that they were supposed to be sheep and then became more like goats. See, just like the fathers of Israel who in the wilderness tested God, goats will test boundaries, borders, and fences. Any of you had that experience? Yeah. They're like little Houdinis. You try to put them in a fence, and it's like, look, there's food, there's water, stay in here. And they escape. They get out. And it's like, even what's in the fence is better for them than what's on the outside. Doesn't matter. They're going to try it. They will continuously test the fences. It's part of their nature. It's what they have to do. I know talked with people who've had them. One individual was telling me about how he didn't really like having goats, really didn't like it. But things were going well, and he had purchased himself a new truck. And every morning he'd get up to go and do chores, and he would work on the fence, trying to keep those goats in. And every morning, no matter what time he came out, he'd look at his truck, and there on top would be a goat, just sitting up on top of his truck. You know, they would scratch it, climb up on it, and it looked like they were doing little dances on it, and just tearing his stuff up. And it's like, why do they need to be on top of a truck? There's no need. There's no food up there. It's like they just knew that he didn't want them there, so guess what? Oh, is that precious to you? That's a stereotype of how goats are. Goats are very rarely, for very long, content with what they have. You know, we've all heard the saying, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side. Goats don't even really like grass. I mean, they'll eat it, but there could be a weed on the other side of the fence, and they're like, oh, I want that weed. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. They just want to bite it, chew it, eat it. They're never happy with the green pastures. We look again at Psalms 23, probably the most famous psalm that David ever wrote. And it again goes into this explanation of how we are like sheep. David compares himself in this way. Psalm 23 and verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. See, this is, again, a dual heart. It's like saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I have need for nothing. I don't need to want anything else because it's all provided. Or we look at it and say, well, I have everything I need because he is my shepherd. He's provided what I need. I don't have to want something else. Something else isn't good for me because I have the good shepherd. In verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. In the Hebrew, that means grassy. So it's literally just grasses or pastures, which are grass, the primary food of sheep. That's what they eat. They don't eat branches and twigs and all these other things. And sheep, if they're not at ease, if they are not peaceful, if they are not healthy, they don't like to lie down. It's hard to get them to rest. It says, he leads me beside the still waters. This word means peaceful. Sheep will cross water. They can swim, not very well, but they can swim. It's kind of like dog paddling. And some people go, oh, they don't like moving water, any kind of moving water at all. And that's not true. They do drink water. They will cross water, though they prefer not to swim. They prefer to step on rocks. But sheep are also aware of the fact that they are not good swimmers. Do you know what happens to wool when it gets wet? It's really heavy. And a sheep that is in a stream that is a heavy current can't swim with it. They'll get wet, and then the current will just carry them away, and they drown. It's rather quick. So they avoid that. But they will cross, I mean, for the same reasons that other animals will. They don't jump a fence if there's no food here, and there's food over there. They'll cross. Or, you know, if there's a ram, he's like, well, I'm over here, and the ewes are over there. He'll swim. He'll go. But when they're at peace, there's a water source which is clean and clear, and it's not a raging torrent that they need to be afraid of. He restores my soul. This is our life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not because of who we are, but because of His plan for us, as a family, as for children. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Sheep have no defense mechanism except to stay together and to be protected. That's how they live. Sheep are completely domesticated. There are no wild sheep anywhere. It's thought that this is how God created them, that they've always needed to have a shepherd for protection, for care. So one of the main differences between sheep and goats is how they eat and what they eat. Sheep primarily are grazers. This means that they eat primarily grasses, very young grasses, and they eat very low to the ground. And as a grazer, their head is lowered. They're eating down by their feet. It's a very humble posture. And they're pretty amazing at how they can manicure a lawn. I remember in Montana, I had not had much experience with sheep. And we went over to see a gentleman who was attending services with us. And we pulled into his driveway and he had this really tall fence all around his several acres. And I looked in his yard and it looked like a golf course. You know, like the really green, really short grass. And it was amazing. And he came out to visit with us and I was like, okay, what sort of a mower do you have? Because, I mean, you must really love taking care of your lawn. And he goes, no, I hate it. I don't mow at all. I'm like, what? He goes, I have sheep. And he takes me around back and he points and he goes, yeah, see? He says, they take care of all of it. He goes, I don't mow it. I never mow. He says, they do it. And it looked like it was manicured. It was incredible. But that's what sheep do. And they're actually fairly finicky about what they eat. They can't eat the same things that goats do. In fact, you know, you put out licks for goats and sheep. And many of the licks that goats have a high copper content, and because they thrive on it, they need it. But a high copper content will make a sheep sick and maybe kill it. They can't eat the same thing. Now goats, on the other hand, will eat anything. They're referred to as browsers, meaning that they will wander around and eat whatever catches their eye. Some of you may remember some of the cartoons that I grew up on where there's this goat and he's eating a tin can. Yeah, they'll eat anything. It's amazing. And, you know, they don't only eat what's on the ground, but they'll eat branches and twigs. And something, have you ever seen them when they want something up high? They can stand on their hind legs to get it, and they'll stretch and reach to eat what's above them. They'll even eat the bark off trees to, you know, not because they're starving, because they want to, and then the tree dies. But they'll just eat anything. And they do this in many ways because they're curious. And again, in other ways, it seems like they're just spiteful, you know? I mean, they're like, yeah, I'm bored, so I chewed down your tree. You know, and I say this knowing that the people who have had goats are like, You know, the last thing that you want them to eat is the first thing they're going to. It's like they know. They're like, we've got all this food over here and all this browse for them and all this cover and all these things to eat. I just don't want them to eat grandma's old apple tree. You know what they're going to aim for? It's again, it's like they're psychic. They know, and they go for it. So, brethren, one of the benefits of this is it makes them great for eating weeds. Where we used to live in Montana and in Wyoming, there was a a weed that had been imported because of honey production, but it had gotten loose and it has spread all over Montana. It's crept into South Dakota, and I know it's down in Wyoming. It's called knapweed, and animals won't eat it. So it just grows, and it gets thick, and it chokes out all the grasses. They figured out the way to get rid of it was goats. Goats will mow it down. They prefer it when it's new and it's young in the spring, but if not, they'll still eat it. They'll chomp it up. And it's a great way to kind of restore and reclaim land that's been overtaken by thistles and weeds and briars. They'll just chew it all up. They're not picky or finicky. It doesn't have to be good food, but they're going to eat it anyway. So, from a spiritual perspective, brethren, again, goats are a blessing. And again, if my sister grew up on goat's milk because my mother had infections and couldn't breastfeed her. So she grew up on it. It's incredibly healthy, and it's a blessing. Their hair can be some of the most expensive yarn that we can make for clothing, angora, that sort of thing. But if they get into what's wrong, if they eat weeds, have you ever had goat's milk where the goat had gotten into something and eaten something she wasn't supposed to? Ugh, it taints it. It makes it, I mean, you'd think it would be sour because it tastes so bad, but it's not. It's just whatever they ate. And you know, they say you are what you eat. It even affects their meat. They actually have a higher chromosome number than sheep. So just so that they can survive more parasites. They can eat all this stuff that a sheep won't. They're not going to touch it. So again, the lesson here is not should you have sheep or goats, but spiritually, who are we supposed to be? What does it say about us as Christians? What are we willing to eat? A Christian is supposed to live on the Word of God, the truth of God. You know, those stay close to the trunk of the tree. Eat what is good, the green pastures, the grass. But a goat, they'll kind of consume whatever gets put in front of them. Doesn't matter who, you know, where it came from. They'll just take it in. 1 Timothy 4. Here is Timothy, a young man who has been made a pastor, which comes from the word pastor, a shepherd, to care for God's people, his sheep. So 1 Timothy 4. In verse 1, Paul is writing to him to give him instruction. This is how you shepherd. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They're willing to take in whatever. They're maybe even looking for it. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. They come up with things like forbidding to marry. You know, what God created, that it's not good for a man to be alone. We're supposed to have this. We're supposed to have families. And commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, there are those who would say, see, God's done away with the food laws, the dietary laws. Hey, just eat whatever you want, so long as you pray over it. Does that make sense? I mean, really, like a goat that would sit there and eat that tin can? Well, I prayed over it. Should be fine, right? No. You know, my son picks stuff up all the time, and I don't think a prayer is going to make it clean. You know, he finds gum. He's like, ooh, Daddy, no! I don't go, well, just pray over it, son. Be thankful for it. It's kind of, I mean, seriously, when you look at it that way, it's ridiculous. And the word here, every creature of God is good, and this is, but that word is every product of God, every creation. So this isn't just animals, this is plants. That God said it very clearly, this is good for food, and this is not. This is green grass. This is healthy and good for you as my sheep. Don't eat the tin can. Don't eat the weeds. They're going to corrupt you. It's going to make what comes from you not very palatable. I've given you what is good. Eat this. Verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, a servant, a shepherd of Jesus Christ, nourished, again, fed in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. All those things which are good. Again, one of the differences between a sheep and a goat is sheep are going to be much more selective about what they consume, what they take in and feed on. A goat, ooh, that looks interesting. And they're not very picky. They'll go anywhere and eat anything. And we spiritually are not supposed to be that way. So, an interesting thing. How many of you can tell the difference between a sheep and a goat just by looking at them? Yeah, it's pretty simple, right? One's got a lot of wool, he's really fat and thick, and you know, goats tend to have horns, and they tend to have be, you know, a little more skinny and different colored. And in the United States and in many areas of the world, where sheep production has been commercialized, we have very specifically bred sheep to a certain look for, again, meat production and wool production. And so the sheep that we have, primarily, I passed some today, they don't look like they did 2,000 years ago. And today, actually, in areas where it has not been done like this, as we have in the Western countries, sheep and goats look very similar. You can't really tell them apart. The differences are very slim. The sheep actually look more like a hairy goat, even the same colors. It's interesting because I was doing research. I found an NPR article that they had to publish because they had done an article and they were talking about sheep in it, and I don't remember what the point of their article was, but the author was somewhat chagrined because all the pictures that they had in the article were goats. And they're like, well, we couldn't tell. I mean, look at its face. It looks like a goat. Well, there are, you know, goats and sheep that are actually from the Middle East, that are actually from the area around Israel and Palestine. And they look like they did 2,000 years ago. Very similar to one another. Just like the parable of the tares and the wheat. That they're in the same field. They're in the same pasture. But you can't just pick them out. The casual observer who walks by go, oh, look, a bunch of sheep. No. Maybe half of them are goats. But it's not obvious to unless you're trained, unless you're actually their shepherd. It takes the true shepherd to tell them apart. That's why he separates them. John 10 and verse 27, Christ again speaking of his people, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That is one of the main differences between sheep and goats. Sheep, again, who have not been completely commercialized, but have grown up as they did 2,000 years ago and more, without fences, but with shepherds who would stay with them, live with them day and night. They follow their shepherd. They need him for survival. They know that he takes care of them. And if they heard the bells on his staff, or they hear his voice, that is where they go. With sheep, they follow their shepherd. With goats, the shepherd follows the goats. That's the way it works. I can speak to that actually, having been around goats, watching people have goats that were eating weeds. The goats go wherever they want. They eat whatever they want. And the shepherd tries to kind of, you know, walk around and kind of corral them. But that's a very powerful lesson for us spiritually. This is one of the lessons that, again, goes back to the children of Israel. He was leading them to the promised land. But with a goat-like attitude, they're like, I'm going to go where I want to go. They don't want to follow a shepherd. Again, sheep are completely dependent upon their shepherds. There are no wild sheep. You'll never see a documentary where like, and we're going out to see the vast herds of wild sheep roaming the hills of... No wild sheep anywhere. Goats, on the other hand, there are goats that are wild who survive and do quite nicely, thank you, over the entire world, from the highest elevations in the coldest climates to the driest, most arid places on the earth, to the jungles. Meh, goat walks out. They can live, they can survive, and they're like, eh, I don't really need a shepherd. I'm fine. I'll eat whatever I want, go wherever I want. And they survive. It's incredible to see how resilient they are. But they go and do whatever their heart's desire is, even if they're yours and you're trying to keep them. The goats are curious, and they wander around. Another way, again, I wonder what the spiritual implications of this are. You know, we as the called people, if we're being a sheep or if we're being a goat, where do we wander? What are we going to do? Nah, I'll do my own thing. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over there. Doesn't matter. I don't think we're called to do that. Ezekiel 34. This is, Ezekiel is full of teachings and that relate to shepherds and sheep. Ezekiel 34. The other way that you can tell the difference between goats and sheep is their behavior. So you don't necessarily have to be the shepherd, but if you sat up on the hill and you were watching a pasture where there were goats and sheep who were intermingled, you'd start to be able to pick out a few differences in their behavior. Ezekiel 34 and verse 17. God speaks to his flock. And he says, "And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture? And oftentimes, you know, even just amongst the same, you know, animals like sheep, you'll get one that's a troublemaker. Or they just don't seem to care about anybody else. There's plenty of food for them, but they'll push their way in and they'll eat it all up and not leave anything for the other ones, the smaller ones. And they're the ones who get really fat off of it because they're bullies. And they trample down what's left. And he says, "And as for you, my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet. They've made it unclean, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet." You know what goats tend to do when there's a pool of water? They go into it, and they drink. And they'll belly into it and everything. And then they do stuff in the water. Kind of like a little kid at a swimming pool. And you're like, he hasn't been out in like 2 hours. That can't be right. What do you think goats do? They foul it up. They walk through the stuff. They stir up the murk and the mire constantly. This is part of their behavior. And he's saying, this is us. Sheep and goats. Behaving badly. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because you have pushed with side and shoulder, you've butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad." Has that ever happened in the church of God? Yeah, we're all supposed to be sheep. But we're a little annoyed. You know, somebody walks in and they're new and we don't like the look of them. Of course it's happened. He says it's happened. "Therefore, I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. Those whose wool is bright and white, those who have been the doers of goodness. And I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd." Again, we know that in the millennium in God's kingdom, that King David will again sit on a throne, ruling over all the 12 tribes of Israel. A king who began as a shepherd because he understands the sheep. Their behavior begins to show, and so does our own. When Christ separates the sheep from the goats in Matthew 25, it's interesting to read that. Because as we're reading it, he says, "You stand here on my right side, and then you stand here on my left." And they're all surprised. "What? How did I end up on the right side?" See, they look very similar. They're in the same pasture, might have the same shepherd. However, the sheep have an attitude of humility, and they have no expectation. They don't expect a reward. They're not thinking, "Well, my time has finally come." It's just the opposite. Like, "What? But Lord, when did I do this for you? I who am I? I didn't do anything." And he says, "You're my sheep." And on the other hand, the goats, they have an attitude of pride. Like, even before they're separated, they're like, "Well, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be on the right side." "What do you mean? What do you mean I'm on the left? I'm a goat? How did that happen? When did I see you needing anything? I mean, it's not like I didn't keep your laws. We've been in the same pasture, following the same shepherd." And he divides. See, brethren, that's part of the lesson in all of this. Sheep and goats. We're all jumbled up in here together. And all of us want to be sheep. I believe that's what we're called to be. Because out in the world of our own, we're all goats. We're called to be sheep, and so that's part of our conversion, that process. So I have some points on how it is we can all try to be on that right-hand side. How it is that we can become sheep. Point number one in this process, point number one, is just go ahead and assume that you're a goat. Just take that on and go, yep, I'm probably a goat. See, if we do that, then we will have a change in our thinking, a humble change, a change that is repentant and says, I need to do better. I don't have it all figured out. I'm not so great. I need to be humble. I need to cling to my shepherd. I need to cling to his word. I need to cling to the brethren, the flock. The fact is that we can all have a goat attitude. I can wake up one morning different than the next and on the wrong side of the bed. I'm ready to butt heads with somebody. I've got the beard for it. I'm a goat. And I have to get down on my knees and realize, oh, Lord, I am having a hard day. I am feeling very much like the smelly old billy goat, and I need help. Because I don't want to be this way. I want to be your sheep. Because that's what we have to overcome. Again, it's ourselves, us. Point number two to how we can ensure that we are becoming sheep is we have to feed on the Word of God. We have to look to Him for those green, grassy pastures. You know, it's easy to look over somewhere else and go, ooh, did you hear that? Or, oh, did you see that thing over there? And, oh, I'll go over and take a bite of that. I'll take a bite of this. And, oh, I just heard this new, profound thing, and I'm going to run over there, and I'm going to take a bite of that tree. We can't take off and get into useless wranglings that do no good whatsoever. You know, we can argue about stuff till we're blue in the face, and all we're doing is, meh, meh. I didn't convince you, you didn't convince me, and we both got a headache. What's the point of that? We stick to the truth. Other things will come and go. It can be trivial. But we have to make sure that we're eating like sheep. That leads me to point number three. To make sure that we're not goats and that we're becoming sheep, is don't be contentious. Don't be looking for a fight. Sheep are humble and timid. We've got a flock of sheep that live just a couple hundred yards from our house, a little farm right there. And Isaac and I went out last night to just kind of get out of the house and take a walk. We went over and saw the sheep and the lambs. And it's amazing. Even the rams, they were so gentle. And we'd hold some grass down for them. Isaac would hold them out, and they would come. And, you know, you could touch that super soft little nose. And they were so sweet. They weren't running around butting each other. Take that. No, I'm the lead ram. They weren't doing that. We can't be doing that either. not who God has called us to be. There's a lot of headbutting going on out in the world, brethren, over anything you can think of. We're not supposed to be that way in the church. Point number four. Beware of the Judas goat. Beware of the Judas goat. 5 years ago, when my family and I were being transferred to South Dakota from Nebraska, we were driving through Sioux City, and just off the interstate, I don't remember if it's a Perkins or a Denny's or something, but they have pictures up on the wall of historic photos. And, you know, from like the 1800s, a picture of downtown Sioux City. And then they had the stockyards. They had pictures of that. And in one of the pictures, they showed a line in the distance of trucks that were coming in. The old, you know, what would have been like a one-ton flatbed with the big wooden sides. And they all had sheep in them. And they're coming in, and it shows a ramp leading down, and they're offloading the sheep into this pen. And the ramp comes up into the building for slaughter. And they have the picture, and they say, you know, this is, I don't know, 1930 or something, and it's the Judas goat. You see, what they would do is they would take the Judas goat, and it was usually an older, large goat, that the sheep would kind of recognize as, hey, you're kind of like us. We're safe with you. And the sheep would all be bunched up down in their little pen, not wanting to leave or move. And they would put the Judas goat in down next to them. But the Judas goat had been trained to walk up the ramp by the building. And then they would let him out through a little door, and then he would walk back around and do it again. And all the sheep, when they were unloaded, would go, something we recognize. One like us. We'll follow you. Hundreds and thousands of them followed that Judas goat to their death. There can be Judas goats in the church. They've always been there. They will always be there. They'll have different ideas, different thoughts, contentions, and they will lead us astray. Brethren, that's the lesson, is don't be led astray. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, I've got this new revelation, I've got this new story, I've got this new thing, you have to know this, but it's going to take us away from the flock, it's going to separate your family, it's going to divide the church. Is that what God wants for his sheep? No. Be aware and wary of the Judas goat. Don't follow down that path. I mean, that is truly the key, brethren. If it's not a sin, but it divides the flock, who has no protection other than to stay together and have a shepherd, then it's to our demise. Point number five leads us right back to where we started with Matthew 25. To be one of the sheep, to be on the right-hand side of God. It's fairly simple. Do what is good. Do what is good. Feed those who are hungry, both physically and spiritually. You know, we can devote however many days a week you want to working at a soup kitchen, and it will do good, but it won't be everlasting good. It'll be for a few hours, for a day. You know, Christ came into the world, and Christ fed a multitude. You know, you think about that kind of power. You could have the world's biggest soup kitchen and just keep turning a little bit of bread into more bread and more soup and more fishes. Christ could have done that. You know, everybody in Jerusalem would have started coming to him for food. But that wasn't what he was there for. He was there to feed them the bread of life and the water of life, which is what they were truly hungry for, which is what they were dying for. Brethren, we need to do what is physical, to give care, because often that's, a person can't hear you talk about your faith if they're starving. You put something in their belly, you take care of a physical need, and then you share the faith. Because that is what they actually need in a world that is starving for it. And they may not want it. They may be like a goat, because the whole world are goats. They may be like, thanks. No way. I'm out of here. Thanks for the meal. But there may be one that God is calling as a lamb who will turn and be like, oh, that sounds like peace. That sounds like safety. There's something which restores my soul in what you just said. We have to do that, brethren, to provide that comfort to the needy, to those who are imprisoned, not just in a jail, but imprisoned in this world, to those who are truly alone. Brethren, this is what we have been called to do. This is what we have been called to become, to give up our goat natures, and to become the sheep who follow Christ, who is the true shepherd and who has been the Lamb of God, sacrificed before the foundation of the world. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.